4.
72.
Thank you.
correct? We're good. You ready to music? You ready to lead music?
Yeah.
Cool. I'm ready if you are. You ready to go? No, once I talk to you, I would never even think about just sitting down. Said good morning. I was trying to keep from doing it the whole time. I about said it anyway. Good evening. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
It's good to hear. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
I love that. Oh my gosh, bless y'all. You need to record that. Just play it for me every day, man. That was precious.
This is a beautiful tradition in this church
that we gather for communion and a little bit of worship. It will be nice and short. We're going to have a time of sharing in a minute because I love hearing, and I think we all like to hear each other's traditions that we have at Christmas. So if you've got a specific tradition, if you have a reading that someone does, I think wherever Suzanne is, I lost her. Malaysia used to do, read the Christmas story every Christmas that she was there. If you have a tradition like that, get ready to mention it in a minute. I think it's cool to hear each other's traditions.
It's a nice time to share. But
before we do anything else, about a month and a half ago, I guess, Jane came up and she goes, can I do something for the Christmas Eve service? And she didn't have it out of her mouth before. I was like, yes, please, absolutely. What a joy to be able to share a gift that a young person has. And so she's going to share a musical call to worship for us. And so thank you, Jane. You're awesome.
Thank you.
Gracious God, thank you for the moment that we get to share in just times like that, God. Thank you for allowing this to be such a beautiful evening, and we gather together with music and with your word and with communion, and we just thank you, God, that this gets to be a thing, and we thank you that Jane led it off so beautifully, Lord. And so we ask that you bless the rest of our time together, to allow it to be a time of reflection on who you are, but also a looking forward to who you will again be. For we yearn for nothing more than a closer and closer connection every day with you until you come once and for all. So thank you, Lord, for this night. Thank you for allowing us to share it together. And God's people said,
Amen.
Thank you again, Jane. Really appreciate that.
Yes.
Beautiful. Join us in the stand, if you would. We're going to sing the first Noel tonight. It's in your hymnal. It's number 136. Do we have the words? Yes. Great. Yeah, we're going to sing all the verses on this. So just this being a solemn night, sort of an introspective night, we're going to just let the words wash over you and think about the Christmas story and what it means, and just the amazing, wondrous, unfathomable moment that we celebrate and commemorate. If you would, First Noel.
Oh,
I would ask, do you have any traditions in your church? The reason I ask this is that the first year I mentioned that I had, if I don't have peanut butter fudge the first night of Christmas, it ain't Christmas. Like, if I don't get that bite, it's that's not. Because ever since I was a little kid, that felt like home. I would go to my grandmother's and she would have peanut butter fudge, chocolate fudge once upon a time. We don't do that anymore. And that would signal that I was home and in a safe place and could just experience, you know, family and all that stuff. And that's why traditions are so cool and good. You'll have one in your church, your house or around you that are just is important to your family. Good, kiddo. Good. And keep, do what? What's the last part?
We read books.
Christmas, really? Really? Like from even like the 80s, right? Ancient, I know.
We have a 1930 or 40 copy of Twas the Night Before Christmas that Dad would read from. And then one of us reads The Grinch. Which is a wonderful tale about what's Christmas.
That's every year.
Every year we've been doing it.
That's cool. Anybody else? You come here, I know that.
I've got to watch Miracle on 34th Street.
Got to. Why
I've
that?
Just watch it at Thanksgiving Day, and I got to watch it on Christmas Eve.
So twice a year it's getting watched by somebody in this world. We know that twice a year it's getting. I'm like that with a Christmas story, but Miracle 34th Street is so much better. I know.
It's like Christmas
if I don't have fudge and, yeah, every year. Anybody else?
Jason?
Yeah.
With me as a child, I like dolls and dollhouses, so the nativity set, even though it basically belonged to my brother, but I got in charge of setting it up. And there were things called dime stores or 5 and 10 stores, and they used to have bins of Mary's and Joseph's, and they were like this chalk plaster stuff. And invariably the sheep or the dog broke a leg, so we'd have to go Christmas shopping and buy another dog or get more sheep. But it meant a lot to me, and so I had, when I grew up, my dad made me a replica of that stable that was my brother's. And have a nativity set for it. But then I also started sort of collecting, but my daughter Liz, as she would travel outside of the country, she would bring me usually a small nativity set. And one year she made an ornament that's the nativity, and it's, you know, it's the story and it's special, and I still like my nativities.
That's cool. Keeping the Christ in Christmas, I like it.
Oh, yeah.
Anybody else? Yeah, Suzanne. How collected you? Yeah.
As long as I can remember growing up, and I don't even know why, it's just one of those things. My mom always had a bird tucked into the Christmas tree. Mm-hmm. And I just picked up that same thing. It's not the same bird, but there's just always a bird on a branch tucked close in on the Christmas tree every year.
I always forget that. I forget to look for it. Her mom also, when she gives you a gift, will stick money in the weirdest places. Gracie knows. Stick money in the weirdest places, and you're liable, if you're not careful, you throw money away because she's sneaky with it. She reminds you. Oh, she's pretty good about that. Julie.
Another food-related tradition is seafood gumbo. Growing up, and I brought it up here.
not Christmassy until you're on the coast, right?
Well,
the tradition of seeing my new friend Jesus. Hola, amigo. It's good to have you, brother. Good. The reason I asked to say that is because I think it's just cool to share that sort of stuff. Anybody else, by the way, that skipped somebody? Is that when I was a kid, we always went to my grandmother's church, the Greensburg Cumberland Presbyterian Church, where my granddad was a preacher. And I remember later on that there would be always, it was a candlelight service is what they did, and then we would go look at the, everybody in Greensburg for some reason put stars above their houses at Christmas. It was a thing. But at that service, so there was a woman that always sang a solo every year. She did not have blue hair,
That is special.
But I think that that part matters least in that they both share an amazing gift. And so thank you for sharing yours. And yeah, everybody, welcome, Ty.
Brightly shining, it is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Oh, on your knees, oh, hear the angel voices, oh, was born. Oh, night, oh, holy night, oh, night divine. Truly he taught us to love one another. His law is love, and his gospel is peace. Chain shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus raise we, let all within us praise his holy name. Is the Lord, the praise his name forever, his power and glory ever proclaim, his power and
evening for a moment. This is, by the way, the first year that we won't have boys with us for Christmas. This is so odd. Philip's not feeling well. Wes is overseas, and so we will miss them terribly. But there's a lot that we miss terribly at Christmas. And so I'm going to have a quick prayer just to bless that hurt nature that we sometimes have in missing people, and have a pause. And if you would like to mention someone out loud, you are welcome to. Under your breath, you're welcome to, or just think it, you're welcome to. You don't have to say anything if you don't want to, but I just want to give a space for that moment so that we can remember those who we don't get to be with this year, but we know they are with Christ, and that is even better. But let's pray. Gracious God, we do missed some this evening so terribly. That it makes sometimes even celebrating a little difficult. But we also know the reason for this night is that we get to celebrate that not all is lost, even in death. That we are never, ever separated from you, as proven by the fact that you came here as the Messiah in the flesh to us. That doesn't take away the hurt. It just gives us hope. And so for a moment, Lord, we just lift up those names and just contemplate on those names and ask for your blessing as we think of them. Give us comfort. Give us whatever it is that we need to remember those who we don't get to be with tonight. We miss terribly, but we know are with you. These are those that we miss, Lord. Thank you for those lives. If we didn't miss them, there would be no reason to mention them, but you gave us relationship with them, and we thank you, God, for that. And we thank you that we are given hope and assurance that even in loss, that there is somehow gain. So we thank you, God, for that, and we trust in that. We rely on that promise. We celebrated this evening of Christmas. Thank you, Lord, for this day to remind us that you've come to save us. That means nothing gets us between us and you and each other. And God's people said, amen. I'll read just about three scriptures from Romans tonight and then have a... Hey, if I don't find my sermon, we're not doing anything at all. Just a short message about it, then we'll begin communion. But this is Romans 16, 25 through 27, and the key is sort of in on the end of it. So if you could, Shaylee. Now, to God who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept for long ages, but is now disclosed, and through the prophetic writings is made known to all the Gentiles, according to the command of the eternal God to bring about the obedience of the faith to the only wise God, through Christ, Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever. Amen. This is the word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God. So, I know we're talking about birth tonight, but I want to start at the other end of the equation and talk about what I consider the easiest thing for a pastor to do, which is, ironically, a funeral. There are several reasons I think it's a lot easier to do a funeral. It starts with, you're there for the family, right? That's the goal. You want to bring my mic down just a little bit, brother? Get an echo up here, if you would. It is. You got it? That's better. Maybe they can hear us online. I'll speak louder just in case. But nonetheless, there's several reasons. Like I said, the first one is that you're there to comfort a family, and that is something that we all want to do. And so that makes the job, you know, easier. But the real reason that it's easier for me personally is this. That I got through my first two funerals means that I could do anything else I ever needed to do. Because we're going to combine the two people together, that the loved ones that passed away. And I'll tell you what kind of they said about the person. They said, the two people, they said they danced too much and had too many boyfriends. And I was asked to do the funeral. I ain't trying to be judgy about that. Not my job. It may have been ballet dance they were talking about, and they might have gone with the boyfriend to church. I don't know. I'm not trying to talk about that. I'm just saying it didn't leave me a lot of room to do the eulogy. So I thought about how to do it. Contemplated. Try to figure it out. Thought about how I might be known after I'm no longer here. How long I'll be known. Those are just thoughts you have sometimes, right? No big, I mean, I just was contemplating. And thought about the memories about being alive and staying alive and how we keep our lost family and friends alive through those memories. And so what I said in both of those was that their loved ones were God's created children. Man, that's who they were. They were crafted by God's own hand, loved by God because God loves everything God made. And so I said to remember them is to keep them alive in our hearts, right? That's what it means. They live when we laugh together and we cry together and all of that which dwells in memories. And with that, I made it through my first two funerals by the skin of my teeth. So why do I bring that up? We will eventually fall away in history. Not in eternity, of course, but in history, in life, which is so odd. But Paul made sure in this letter to remind the Romans that God isn't that way. God isn't temporary. Life isn't that way. Not quite. God's glory, he said, is forever. It's unending, forevermore. And we've been promised a place in that. Hence, the coming of Christ at Christmas. And we know that God is unending in a way because we keep talking about Jesus all the time, don't we? We keep talking about God all the time in this world. Tonight, everybody around the world is talking about it. They've been having Christmas since yesterday. Well, Wes and them in Japan, they're ahead of our time. So it's Christmas, and God's glory is going and going and going and going. Like that rabbit, like was on the battery commercial, it just keeps going and going. We just keep talking about God and laughing and crying as needed. And we do that because God's glory doesn't ever end. It is forever and always, amen. So we witness to a Christ that is alive in this world today. We don't keep Jesus alive in our hearts by just thinking about him and having a few memories. We witness to an alive Christ in this world by witnessing to it. And when we do that, we do make sure that we always remember and remind others that that Christ is alive. That Messiah is alive. He lives. And so, Merry Christmas to you. We remember Christmas because we remember the life of Christ. And not only that Christ that came once, but that Christ that will come into this world again and again and again and again until he comes once and for all. That's what we know at Christmas and what we remember. Not just having a birthday for Jesus with some gifts, thank goodness, but that God was present in this world through the birth of the first baby child Messiah. And there's birth after birth of Christ when we Christians live like that is as true as we say it is. We come in a long history of people who remember Jesus Christ, who keep the memories of Christ alive. But we're also in a long, long history of people who know that if it's not us keeping those memories alive, it will be somebody. Because to God be the glory forever. Amen. Not just yesterday, not today, and not just tomorrow, but for always. That's the promise of Scripture, and that's the experience of God that we get to have. So really, I guess the truth is sort of like I said to those families early on, but the other side of the coin. I said that their family was alive in their hearts as long as they remembered their loved ones. But with Jesus, it goes the other way around. There's no end to God. There's no end to Christ. There's only an end to Jesus in us. Not an end to Jesus, but only an end to Jesus in us if we neglect to witness to that Lord, to know him and to remember him in everything, communion especially. If we neglect to experience again and again the Messiah that was born tonight, if we struggle to trust, to have faith in God's will shown to us by our Savior, if that were to happen, Jesus is not gone forever. Let me be clear, but our lights inside of us dim instead. Until finally it's snuffed out by a world that wants to keep us alive on their terms and not the one of God. But this is not us. This is not us. We're here tonight because Christ is alive. As alive as he was at that very first cry at Bethlehem. We are here because we do remember to witness and to remember. We yearn to experience the Messiah who's born every time that God's will is lived out in this world, just like it was that first night. We trust, or we try to, and we try to hold our faith more and more dear to us every day. And we show it tonight by being here. So let us live out the living Christ. If he's alive in us, meaning if he has saved us to his way and his faith, that means that the Spirit is alive and moving in us too. That was the blessing of Pentecost. And if we know a living God, then by God's favor, may we live it out just like Mary did, as I said this morning. May we live it out just like Joseph did. May we live it out like Elizabeth did. Not necessarily Zechariah. He was, if you remember, muted for his questions. But let's live it out like the disciples in their best moments. Like Paul and Phoebe and on until this very day. May we live out the life of Christ, and may we do it proudly this Christmas, for a Savior is born. Church, the Messiah is here. Christmas, church. And go be witnesses to the birth of Christ. God's people said. Amen. Jim, if you would lead us. Jane was like, but I was playing Silent Night. And I was like, yeah, but we get to do the reprise. You set the tone for the whole thing, kiddo. Thank you.
If you would just stand together as we sing this. This is such a beautiful song, such a deep history to it. And just such a quiet moment that we can share together. So we'll just sing.
Thank you. sheep and this story they told. He said this, "A thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I come to have life and to have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep." Love the idea in that, that the promise of this way of God, this promise of forgiveness, this promise of grace and the irredeemable grace.
Thank you.